You who are Christ's children, and you are Christ's children, all of you, whether you come up for the children's word or not, you will lose your lives for his sake, one way or the other. But you have a promise that is much greater than this loss. For yours is the kingdom of God, you children of Christ. Jesus has given you his seal of promise in your baptism. He will give you his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. And now he gives you his word that no matter what your loss in this old world, your sins are forgiven, and you too will be raised up on the last day from the grave. With this news now in your ears, and it always does come as news, as new, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have eternity now to spend in the grace of God. And it is yours through Christ. Amen. We left the disciples last week wondering what the empty tomb meant for their future. Though it was a week from Easter, our text last week happened on Easter Sunday. Many were still scared that they would go, that they would be next to go to the cross for the preaching of Christ. And their fears were well founded. And so this week we catch up with the disciples in Acts chapter 6. We are introduced to a man named Stephen. Stephen was chosen because he would be a responsible steward to help make sure that all the widows were well cared for. Even in the early church, there were cultural rifts, and some of the widows were getting better care than others, some people thought. So the disciples said, "We don't have enough time to deal with all of these arguments. We need to preach the word." So they raised up stewards, those who would make sure that all were well cared for in their small community. So Stephen's job description was one of service, but full of the Holy Spirit, Luke says in Acts, he couldn't help but preach God's word as well. He couldn't help but share the good news that had been given to him of Jesus Christ with all who had ears to hear it, and probably with many who did not seem to have ears. And here is where the trouble starts. You've maybe heard this quote from Tertullian that goes something like this: "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." This is attributed to the second century church father who is writing in the midst of great persecution of Christians in the second century. He was writing to the Roman governor of his province and basically saying, "No matter what you do to us, you will only strengthen us by your persecution. The blood of the martyr is the seed of the church." And at times that has been true in the history of the church. At times it has appeared not to be true. But Luther, centuries later, understood the same thing. And when he was asked, "What is the true mark of the church?" his answer was, "Suffering." Maybe gives us pause to reflect a little bit. The true mark of the Christian church is suffering. Both Tertullian and Luther understood that where the gospel is preached, where it's shared, all institutions of the law, which is to say all institutions, will be threatened. For the gospel of Christ, the gospel which you have been given, brings the law in the conscience of the believer to an end. And so the law and institutions no longer have supreme authority where the gospel is preached, because the word of Christ takes over. And so when the preacher announces that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, as has been announced to you already this morning, there is no greater authority than that in this world. And that is threatening to all other institutions, religious and other. So when Stephen, who is a steward but full of the Holy Spirit, starts preaching, he gets arrested based on false witnesses. But he cannot stop but go to the council. And he tells the whole story of God and his people throughout the Old Testament. It's review material, and we actually skipped most of that sermon this morning for brevity's sake. And most of the learned council would have heard it many times. Yet when Stephen gets to the person of Jesus Christ, they are hearing something new. And when he tells them this, and here I'm quoting, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one. And now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by the angels, yet you have not kept it." What does God do with bullies? First, he tells them what they are doing is wrong. And this was part of Stephen's sermon. And then he tells them about Christ, who comes to forgive them. Now, common sense would have told Stephen to zip it, to stop preaching, to save his own life, since that's what got him in trouble in the first place. But directed by the Holy Spirit, he could not stop telling about his freedom in Christ. And as a result, the council is threatened. They become afraid, and they become angry, which is what happens to all of us when the law does not work as we want it to. And they take Stephen out to be stoned. Now, we might have expected that Stephen, this great preacher, would have been spared by God. This happens in Acts in other places. Other preachers are freed from prison, freed in their own lives. But Stephen died that day, the first martyr of the fledgling church after Christ. And his death leaves us with a question: what is the place of suffering in the church, in our faith? What about death? What about unjust suffering or unjust death? How does God use these things? I want to share a short video with you that tells a story of some of our Christian brothers and sisters, minorities in the country of Pakistan, where their faith is sometimes tolerated, but not always.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kadus, 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 abalfad. زمین اسمان کے خالق مالک تیرا شکر ادا کرتے ہیں اس پیارے موقع کے لیے جو تو نے ہماری زمین میں بخش دیا تیرا شکر ادا کرتے ہیں خداوند اس صبح کے لیے خداوند کہ تو نے ہماری زندگی میں بخشا کہ نئی صبح دے سکے خداوند خداوند تیرا شکر ادا کرتے ہیں ان بچوں کے لیے خداوند
Today in Pakistan, we Christians are second-class citizens. Though we have committed no crime, we are ostracized and banished to the lowest place in society. Often we are forced to leave our villages and our own homes. We cannot get good jobs. And we have no voice in government. What is left for us is servitude. Sewage work. And we know we will never advance. Thank you. But we have a church. A place where Christians come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing His praise, to study His Word. For while our country has turned its back on us, God has not. Sometimes it is not easy. The loss, the injustice. So please remember to pray for us. That we will continue to live together in fellowship. That we will continue to see the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that we will persevere in our faith no matter the cost. And please remember, we are praying for you.
Persecution of Christians still happens. It has throughout history. It will happen in the future. And it happens throughout the world, both far and near. These brothers and sisters in Christ in Pakistan have no hope of climbing and ascending to better jobs, careers, or paths for their children. And common sense would say, stop publicly proclaiming Christ so that your work will be more fairly rewarded, so that you may have a future in this world. But you heard their true hope. We have a church where we can praise God's name and proclaim Jesus Christ. That is their hope. And I do not share this story so that you will compare your faith to theirs, though it is humbling perhaps. I share this so that you may see that we have the same hope. That we too have a church where we can hear this message of Christ as our greatest treasure. And that is what it is. On this third Sunday in Easter, we proclaim Christ has risen from the grave. And that is the best thing that we have going, as it is the best thing our brothers and sisters all over the world have going. I also don't want to villainize those who persecute the church. I think that's an important message for us. Similar to Jesus' words on the cross, Stephen says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He died because he wanted them, the council, to hear the good news of Christ, not because he was holding to some righteousness of his own. That is the way of faith. And while our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are persecuted amazingly pray for us, they ask our prayers for them, they also pray for those, their neighbors, who persecute them. And in the faith of Christ, so must we. So we are gathered here today to marvel together, as the disciples marveled days after the resurrection at what an incredible promise we share and what hope this brings in the midst of any circumstance in our lives. God will use you up, it is true, one way or the other, some of you slowly, some of you quickly, for the sake of the neighbor, so that others may hear the gospel. But we share this hope so that we need not be afraid of this being used up. We share it with Christians throughout history and throughout the world. It is this, that in Christ, your faces, like Stephen's, glow. In his righteousness. In him, your sins are forgiven. In him, you will be raised. The very next verse after our reading from Acts is that the Apostle Paul, who at that point was named Saul, approved of this stoning. And look how God used him to share the gospel in ways that we hear this day. In Christ you will be raised. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our hymn of the day.